This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Gonna launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
Sports on a Saturday morning, a longtime tradition here at WRMJ. Beginning back in 1979, I'm Jim Taylor. Good to have you along. We're talking about week one of high school football today. Ty Taylor in studio with us as well. And now we say for three of our teams that we cover, what do they say, Ty Taylor? Back to the drawing board, right?
Yeah, and I think at least two of those results, very surprising with both Mercer County and Rockridge getting beat. Of course, Rockridge preseason number three. Mercer County, I think, a heavy favorite against a team like United, who I think was 2-7 a year ago. And just kind of talking about those two games, now I was at neither of them, but it seemed like kind of similar stories. Really tough sledding offensively for both the Eagles and the Rockets last night.
Yeah, and Newman, that was a tradition-style game for them where they just found a way to win. They didn't pick up their first two first downs until their final drive of the second quarter. They scored on a pick six early, 53 seconds into the game. Then Rockridge got a long pass late in the second quarter. Landon Wheatley out for football this year. But then they punted every, and I know we'll hear Coach Graves here in Sportsline momentarily, but Rockridge, and I don't ever remember this happening while Coach Graves has been head coach, they punted every possession in the second half, did not have one first down. They started two of their drives last night in Newman territory in the second half. And then in the first half, this is how crazy the game was, they started a drive at the 20 after a turnover, the 20 of Newman, and punted.
Wow.
Because that's what game was. But Rockridge, their defense really stood the test. And I tell you, Newman, man, their defense was stout last night as well, and you have to give them credit. And it'll be interesting to see now. We look at these week two matchups. You know, Sherrard hanging tough last night, falling 28-21 to Kewanee. Heard a lot this week about Kewanee. Hey, they have a lot of personnel back. I don't think they're near the caliber that Princeton is, but that's a team on that side of the conference that you just never know year in and year out what they're going to bring. So you look at some of these week two matchups now, how important they are. And Rockridge plays on the road next week in Lexington, that Ridgeview-Lexington co-op. I think they scored 40 points last night. And the big story, too, that's going to be interesting to follow is St. Bede, who Mercer County plays week two on the road. And by the way, if you've never been to St. Bede Academy, that is a tremendous venue to watch a football game at. It's like a college campus, really. It's unfortunate you're not playing it later in the fall when the leaves turn and that type of thing, but it's an awesome experience. But the story involving them, a transfer student from Aurora Central Catholic who threw for, was it like 3,000 plus yards last year and had a number of rushing touchdowns, and then they beat Tuscola last night, who's ranked in the top 10 in 1A.
Yeah, I think it was something like 3,500 plus yards over the last two seasons, and I think 40 touchdowns over the last 2 years too. Yeah, but like you said, that's another, you know, it's a good team that Mercer County is playing on the road, and, you know, if they don't play well again, they could very easily be looking at 0-2, and like Rockridge, kind of the same thing. They're taking on Ridgeview-Lexington, like you said, a team that it looks like will likely be in the 2A postseason this year, but have been a semifinalist and a quarterfinalist in the past couple of years in 1A. So, yeah, A lot of interesting games coming up in week two for us. And you touched on Sherrard's game with Kiwani last night. And you're right. I think Kiwani was very impressive to me watching them last night. Their quarterback, Brady Clark, is a true dual threat, kind of, you know, really electric when he has the ball in his hands. And for Sherrard, though, I really don't think they played all that well, really, and still had a chance at the end to tie the game or win it, even if not for an offsides penalty on onside kick. So how that game transpired down the stretch, if you weren't listening, Sherrard was trailing 28-14 and were driving in the final minutes and scored a touchdown with, I think, a minute and 10 seconds left. Sherrard was out of timeouts and then was able to actually recover the onside kick, but someone had went offside, so they had to try it again. And then Kiwani recovered at that time and took a couple of knees to end the game. But Sherrard, you know, another week, another, I think, you know, maybe moral victory, you could say. I know Coach Johnson is probably sick
he's
of those.
I don't even say that to him. He's probably.
But, you know, we talked about a postgame with him, and you'll hear our conversation this morning with him, too, is even with that, you know, a lot of penalties that they dealt with, a couple of things that happened defensively that they weren't happy about, they were still, you know, in a game with a good team. Of course, you want to win the game, but Coach Johnston said it last night. He still feels there's a lot of there can be, you know, a really good year for the Tigers this year. And he was happy with the effort, but, you know, unhappy with the ultimate result.
And now they play Newman next Saturday night up at Roscoe Eads Stadium, which will be an interesting matchup. You know, the other thing I was thinking about today when we talk about preps coverage, and we'll continue to cover the four teams all season long, Mercer County, Sherrard, Rock Ridge, and Orion. And I was talking to my mom and dad today. I wanted to see what type of coverage there was. I didn't see any print reporter at the game last night at Rock Ridge Newman. Normally that game always gets covered. And I haven't noticed a lot of Twitter activity from Terry Duckett, who's been a long time cover the prep beat, the area prep beat, the outlying schools out here. And so I called my mom and dad today. They get the hard copy paper, not the print version. And I asked my dad, I said, hey, are there any game stories today in the paper? And he said, no, not one. Not one game story today. That makes me sad, in no box scores. You know, and I don't know. I'm not here to spike the football on anyone. I miss the coverage. You know, I know people can say, well, that's a competitor. Not really. We're all in this thing together. And I'm sad you don't see more coverage. You see some of it on digital platforms, but there's something to be said about a print and a newspaper. And when you don't have that type of coverage, and it hurts, you know, the kids and the families. They deserve that, and unfortunately we don't see that anymore. So I was disappointed to learn about that today.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is sad. And, you know, I think, like, print coverage is important. Like, any type of coverage is important for high school athletics, and that's why I think, you know, you can see maybe sometimes interest dwindling over the years, and I think that has a lot to do with it. When there isn't coverage, you know, I think that really hurts the overall maybe popularity of the game and of the sport, and that's why I think it's so important, you know, for places like us. I think we do such a great job, you know, covering local sports and local high school athletics. And, you know, you can tell doing it how much people enjoy it, you know, and how much people appreciate it. Like last night, for example, Coach Johnson at Sherrard, he gave us a helmet and he had a nice note thanking us for our coverage. So we've got a Sherrard football helmet in the office now. And, it's something that is a shame, and it's too bad that, you know, people who make those decisions, I guess, don't see the value in covering local sports, because there's a ton of interest, as we see every week. You know, we always, you know, hear from people who are listening from wherever. I mean, you know, last year during the Rock Ridge Alpha Run, we had someone in Jamaica listening to us. So it is too bad, but it looks like that's just the kind of the way it's trending, which is sad.
Well, if somebody sees Terry Duckett, tell him Jim Taylor said hello. And by the way, you're talking about the helmet you got from Brandon Johnston, the stat team at Rock Ridge, they like you better than they like me, and that includes Keith Bogner.
Did they say something?
Yeah, they said, well, they were hoping Ty was going to be here, not you.
Who's they? Does that include Keith?
That includes Keith too, I think.
Okay,
but he was in rare form last night, ready for the season with the Heat. All right, we have a lot coming up and some good conversations. I know Coach Matlick will join us in studio. All right, and we caught up. And by the way, it was a weird situation at the end of the Rock Ridge game last night. So the game gets over, and I'm going down to interview Coach Graves, and the power went out. So pitch black at the football complex. This is still when the fans and like everybody is there. It was the, and then like even their emergency lighting, that shut off. So, I mean, it's just complete darkness.
And then before we go to break, though, we haven't mentioned this yet, but the fourth team that we cover, the Orient Chargers, are 1-0. Way to go, Coach Filler. I know he was jacked up last week when we were talking to him, and having a chance to talk with him this morning. Excited that the Chargers, a late score in the fourth quarter to come from behind to defeat Hall. Orion won that game 20-14. Happy for Chip and more happy for Kale Filler, though.
Well, this is what I'm going to say about that I like about Coach Filler. One, he's always been great to work with. And two, I remember when I went to him, this was about 7 or 8 years, and I said, hey, we want to do every Orion game too. And he's like, oh, that okay. And I said, you think you could help us line up some sponsors over there? And basically, he kind of sold the thing. Yeah. For us, so he's still waiting for a commission. And the one thing I like about Coach Filler, all right, because I know some people, they get all mad, whoever they are, because he comes on right after the game, and I'm a believer that there should be like a 10-minute, 15-minute cooling off period. And I know that though on radio sometimes, well, we the coaches need to get on, you know, right after the game before we sign off, whatever. And sometimes, you know, it's a, if you're not emotional about this game, you shouldn't coach. And sometimes if you're coming up on the airway after a, you know, a high octane, high emotional game, you should be emotional on the air. I like that, you know, win or lose, and maybe that can rub some people the wrong way. But he's speaking the truth, you know, when he's telling us. Yep. So I like it.
He's been doing it, and this is his 15th year now. And the thing with Coach Filler that you always know is he's going to tell you what he thinks, yeah. And you know, and I always appreciate that. And like you said, extremely easy to work with, and anytime you ask him anything, he does it for you. From the media perspective, he does a great job promoting his program. And, I love working with Coach Filler. Happy that the Chargers are 1-0.
And in coaching, everyone has critics. I don't care who you are. But those critics will be the first people that will want to listen to what you have to say, too. So they run home and listen on the post game or the podcast of Coach Filler. All right, he's coming up. Coach Graves is coming up. Coach Johnston is coming up. Coach Matlick is coming up. We're in the heart of downtown Toledo. It's Antique Days taking place today, and everybody's walking by and they're staring into the broadcast studio.
What are they talking about?
This is a longtime tradition, the WMJ Sports Line since 1979. Coming up, we'll visit with Rock Ridge head football coach Sam Graves.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
6140 Run knows that foot comfort is important whether you're walking, running, or working. Shop their selection of running shoes from Saucony, Mizuno, Hoka, and Brooks. They've got the latest design and styles of Birkenstock sandals featuring the legendary footbed for day-long comfort. Numerous new styles of Hey Dude shoes along with Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. There's great selection and styles for you at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. We're joined by Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves. Rockets fall 12-7 in the opener. when I say defensive struggle on week one, is that what it was or what happened Friday night?
Offensive struggle. That might be the worst offensive performance we've had in since I've been here. This has been the biggest struggle offensively we've ever had. We're disappointed with our effort up front, with our lack of foot movement. We weren't finishing blocks. We weren't continuing to the whistle. We would hit once and let defenders run by. It was a team Newman wanted it defensively more than we wanted it offensively. That was for sure. We're embarrassed about the effort up front right now.
Well, and I tell you, though, I thought if this game ended in Rockridge's favor, I was going to say the player of this game was Alex Zarlatanis, and not because of how he played linebacker or how he played running back, but how he punted, because his last two punts he put Newman at the one and Newman at the seven.
Yeah, you're correct. He did some fantastic things for us there, pinning them. And you're right, it was a defensive game at that point, and the whole time. And if he didn't do that for us, you know, there's a couple times where he flipped the script for us field wise, and it should have got the momentum back for us, and then we kind of crap that momentum away on the offensive, going three and out and punting right back, and he did it. You're right. He did a great job for us.
So, getting back to offense tonight, your offense against their defense, what were some of the things that Newman was giving you kind of fits with?
They put smaller. It's a good recipe against us because, and you know, we have bigger guys that are slower and that are lazier, and tonight they were anyway, and they put small, fast guys on the defensive line. And they were reading our blocks. Sometimes as a defensive lineman, they were going backwards just so they could read. And then they were using their speed to hop around blocks. And we weren't doing very good. It was definitely I'm not going to say anything other than candy coated. It was an embarrassing effort.
And then, though, defensively tonight, though, I mean, your defense, I thought, put you in pretty good spots all night. So what about, you know, defensive preparation tonight and stopping the Newman run game or the Newman spread?
Yeah, that's what we have positive. That's what I told him in the huddle after the game. I feel like we have the potential to have a state championship defense on our hands, but you know, we gotta obviously go to work offensively and fix some things. And there at the end of the game, we got a little undisciplined. Some of that youth I talked about, that they come in and they've always been able to use their athleticism and haven't been disciplined. And there's that learning curve, the varsity football. And you saw it flare up a couple times on us tonight. They just want to try to play ball, and that's not what you can do at varsity football. It has to be disciplined in what reads and what we do defensively, and that bit us a couple times. But other than that, man, when Landon went out with cramps, it obviously hurt us because he was playing great at corner tonight, Landon Wheatley. And when he went down, that really hurt, losing that secondary piece. So, defensive-wise, like you said, we're very happy about that.
Now, Wheatley didn't play much in the second half, just basically cramps, it wasn't really a serious type of issue.
Yeah, no, it was cramps. He'd go out, try to get, will it and go out there for a couple plays, but he couldn't finish, so he was out.
And then, you know, I think you're referring to that last drive in terms of assignment football. That just really, you think, didn't happen then in that final 93-yard drive?
No, not at all. It was We were playing a couple different coverages and just some simple coverages for us that we consider a base coverage that they learned from day one, and we weren't doing that. It was almost like the moment got a little too big. Guys weren't making the right reads. It definitely did not happen in the secondary there in that last drive. And even guys, I say youth that were undisciplined, but we even had some big mistakes from some juniors and seniors that were on the field. So, it was almost like, you know, the moment just got a little too big for us, but it's a great, great, great moment for us, learning moment if we take and do the right thing with this game, because this was a playoff-type game for our guys early, week one. So hopefully that'll pay dividends come week 10.
Now, the attention is always going to be on the quarterback most of the time, and it's a freshman quarterback. Now, I said during the broadcast a couple times, you know, his last game he played competitively, he was playing against some seventh graders probably, and now he's playing against some seniors, a five, year age difference. just a little bit. And then he's playing the pedigree of Sterling Newman Central Catholic that had a serious game plan tonight defensively. What about just, you know, his situation tonight and what he had to accomplish and a learning curve, I guess, for him too?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's good for him to get these snaps right away. We had some practice in the summer that against some a couple teams that help the maturing process. But these are great moments for him to learn. And you know, there was another assistant coach that said it at halftime that this right now is on no one in the secondary. We're losing this thing up front line-wise. And those are who we put up on a pedestal preseason. And we've been disappointed with some effort up front there in the first couple weeks here practice-wise. I think we think we're a little bit better than we are up there. So it comes down to that. I think when you got a young quarterback, you got to be solid up front for him and allow him to make some mistakes and learn the game. And man, he didn't have a shot tonight. Any sprint out, any pass play, he was getting pressure so quick. And you know, there was really nothing for us to turn to run game wise either. As soon as we had something and we came back to it, it was shut down. So, you know, I think yes, there's a lot of learning he has to do, and we expect a big jump going from week one to two, but right now it's our offensive line that needs to take the biggest step going into week two.
Yeah, and I know you the frustration with the offense, all punts in the second half. And I think if I read the stats right, not one first down. So I never recollect that happened in your 9 or 10 years that you've been head coach.
No, and again, I hope the guys take this the right way. This is the worst. Like you said, I don't ever remember an offensive performance this bad from a Rockridge football team that I've been a part of. And they can take that two ways. We can pout about it and say we're just not that good, or we can get better. And because like we talked about, I think we have a state championship caliber defense. I really do. But we got to take big steps offensively.
All right, and then you talked about it last week that it's interesting the front end of your schedule, because now you get a 2.5 hour, close to 3 hour road trip next week against, you know, a team that was a pretty good postseason or a good team last year in the 1A playoffs and now ranked 2A.
Yeah, they last 2 years, I think, was it two semifinals or one semifinal, one quarterfinal, something like that. So, yeah, that is a great football team. And they have kids, a couple brothers down there that Coach Henry said he saw down at the state track meet that are back that have went there for sprinting. So, I mean, they have got some great team speed. You know, it's going to present a good challenge for us again. So, again, we need to see a good jump from week one to week two. Guys coming back ready to get to work.
Thanks a lot, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, more on WMJ.
At Country Financial, we're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through town. We are part of a community that helps support the programs that make our neighborhoods thrive. We take the time to get to know our customers. We know that every situation is unique, and our goal is to understand yours so we can help you be confident about your financial security and your future. To talk about how we can help ensure that the future you're dreaming of is something you can proudly own no matter what it looks like, see your local Country Financial representative.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Continuing our recap of week one of the 2023 high school football season. Sherrard head coach Brandon Johnston joining us now. The Tigers fall by one score last night to Kewaunee, 28-21. The score from Clifford King Field. Coach Johnston, you've had a night to sleep it off, I hope. So when you look at week one in 2023, what are some of your main takeaways from last night's loss?
You know, the biggest thing is we got to get better defensively. We got to be able to get off the field. We got to be able to stop the run a lot more consistently than what we did last night. I don't think necessarily we played poorly defensively. I mean, we limited big plays. We got a couple turnovers, but we just couldn't consistently stop the run last night, and that was probably the biggest key to the game, I thought.
Well, and speaking to the run defense, I don't know if you had a chance to kind of review the film at all yet, but what do you think maybe were some of the biggest things that hindered you defensively not being able to get as many stops to force them into second and third and longs?
Yeah, it was kind of a combination. They certainly had a good game plan, I thought. They came out and did just a couple things a little differently than we were anticipating. Of course, you always have that possibility week one, and especially with the new coach over there. But it wasn't necessarily something completely foreign to us. So we just kind of had to make a couple minor adjustments on the fly. It comes down to execution. And, they executed more on their offense than we did defensively. So we've got to clean things up on that side of the ball.
Well, and obviously dealing with the heat last night, and I know it's something that everybody deals with. But at the small school level especially, I think a lot of programs struggle with depth. Do you think maybe the heat and some of the kids cramping up, how big of an impact did that play last night for you?
I'm not sure. We lost one for a pretty significant amount of the game. That would have been an impact player for us in Kyler Schmidt. Wasn't really sure what was going on with him, but think it might have been heat related. So he was fine towards the end of the game, but we were just kind of cautious with him and kept him out. And he's a two-way starter for us, a return guy for us, one of our fastest guys. So, but again, that may or may not have been heat. We're still not 100% sure on that. We obviously, anytime you lose any of your players off the field, they're on the field for a reason. We put them there. So we've got to get to a situation where we've got a little bit more depth, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to build that depth as the season progresses.
And something we talked about with you post-game last night, penalties were a killer. It seemed like they came at such inopportune times. I think we had you for 9 penalties for 75 yards last night. Did you feel like it was maybe an aggressive thing or a technique thing? How coachable do you think and correctable those situations were that you ran into with some of those penalties that hurt you last night?
A little bit of both. A couple aggressive penalties where, it wasn't necessarily our kids being aggressive after the whistle or anything like that, but just a couple kind of overly aggressive penalties. And we don't, we don't get too awful worked up about those. Obviously, we don't want any of them. But, things like that where kids are trying to make a play, that's not something that's as significant to us. Some of the mental errors that we had that cost us penalties and things like that, those are the ones that we really try to harp on and get those things cleaned up from a week-by-week basis.
Now, you've got 4 sophomores starting on the offensive line, 1 senior. How do you think that kind of youthful offensive line played last night? Anything stick out to you?
Yeah, honestly, I thought they played really, really well. Holland, for the most part, had plenty of time last night. Couple issues, but you're going to have that any game with, even if you have 4 or 5 seniors, I think, starting up there. But I thought Holland was very well protected last night. I thought we could have run the ball a little bit more effectively, but when we didn't have the ball enough. So when we had the ball, we really had to get going and take advantage of those possessions when we had them, because they were few and far between for us last night.
And we talked about this, preseason with you. Your skill position players returning were the, I think, the group you were hoping the most out of. And you saw a few big plays from a few different guys last night. You got the ball spread around pretty well. What'd you think of the skill position performance for you offensively?
Yeah, that's a group that we're certainly going to be leaning on early for sure. Obviously probably all year as well. So I thought we did a good job when we had the ball last night. We did a good job using all of our athletes and getting the ball to those players. I thought, other than just a couple decisions, I thought Holland played really, really well, threw the ball really well, made a lot of really good decisions getting the ball out there to those guys. So, that was a plus last night for us. And, again, hopefully we're going to continue with that group this year.
And just kind of like talking with the kids after the game for you, did it feel like there was any, I guess, added disappointment with this loss last night than normal? Or what was kind of the feel around the program?
This is an incredibly competitive group of kids. We've talked already, 3-4 guys that are in their third year starting for us now. We have high expectations of these kids, and that's not necessarily wins and losses. Just as much as it is performing really well, performing very consistently, because they have that experience. And some of those kids and some of our other kids as well had some mental errors. You know, nothing necessarily that I think really cost us a game or anything like that. I'm just not real big on that. I think, you know, over the course of a game, there's a lot of plays that contribute to the result. You know, but the group of kids that we have is ultra competitive, and they're very, very close knit. So, you know, when they make a mistake, they really feel like that, you know, they know that they can do better, and sometimes they feel like they let their team down. But like I said, I think they're so close that we've got a great leadership, and we've got guys that will really build each other back up. So, you know, it was tough last night. Obviously, you lose a close game like that, a game that we really didn't think we played very well in, over the course of four quarters, and you know, a lot of what ifs certainly. But you know, at the end of the day, Kiwani made a few more plays than we did.
And we talked about this a little bit last night too, but obviously, you know, I think you're probably getting to the point where you don't want to necessarily have just moral victories, right? But another competitive game for Sherrard last night for the team who I think is pretty good. Coming up just short, you know, obviously I would assume some positives to take away from last night too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, week one, it's probably as big of a question mark as any other week, I think. You know, we don't do a whole lot of full contact, you know, stuff like that in the preseason. So that leaves a little bit of a question mark for us week one, but we always feel like we want our kids to be healthy going into week one, and that's got to take priority, especially at a small school with a small roster like we have. So, you know, moving forward, again, we certainly saw a lot of good things last night. We've already talked about them, and I still think good things are ahead this year for our Tiger team. You know, tough one last night, tough way to lose, you know, had that onside kick that we recovered and got called back on, you know, so things like that. I mean, those things are hard to execute, and you do it once, you know, then you have to turn around and try to do it again on the very next play. But, you know, again, there's a series of plays over the course of a game that all contributed to that last night. Tough way to lose, especially when, you know, you were close and you didn't really play your best. But, you know, we use that as a learning opportunity and move forward to next week.
All right, another tough test for the Tigers coming up a week from tonight. Saturday night, Sherrard travels to Sterling to take on the Newman Central Catholic Comets. Coach Johnson, thanks for talking with us this morning, and enjoy junior Tiger flag football today.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Day one of our youth program that we've implemented.
All right. Sounds good. And there you go. You're one of the star players right there. So,
and my 4-year-old's excited too.
All right, Coach Johnson. Well, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you in Sterling on Saturday.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Ty.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ. More coming up.